Today's sermon is, Are You Found in Him? And I ask you again, are you found in Him?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, good morning. Thank you for, again, our time together. And I'm just so excited about what you've done, Lord, and this new year, because you told us that it's a new year, but the same God. And we thank you. It doesn't matter what is happening, you're still the same. And so we thank you for being here today. And Lord, I ask that you bless the word today, that it would minister to us. Bless your servant as I bring your word. And Lord, let me be a mouthpiece for you. In Jesus' name, God's people say amen and amen. All right, this morning I have a message that the Lord has placed upon my heart to bring actually for this new year. And last week was a part of it, never forgetting what God has done for us, never forgetting where God has brought you to. And this morning, I'd like to begin with our opening text out of the book of Philippians, chapter 3. So if you turn with me to the book of Philippians, one of them books that the Apostle Paul wrote, Philippians, chapter 3. And I'd love to hear the pages turn. I'm glad we have it up here on the screen. But again, we can put anything up there on that screen, right? Someday I may have Brother Rick do something up there that's not in there. See if you pick it up. We have our word that God has given to us. Philippians chapter 3 is where we'll start, starting in verse 1. Paul said, Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he as whereof he might trust in the flesh, I do more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, bless your word today as we begin here. I want us to key in on many of the things that the Apostle Paul said, but in particular here, verse 9. He said that I would be found in him. That would be found in him. Today's sermon is, Are you found in him? I'll ask you again, are you found in him? Now, there's kind of a couple sections to this word that God has given to me today, and we're going to get there to it. But, you know, as I have been praying, the Lord in the past few years has given me words for the coming years that are ahead. And I remember last year that the Lord had spoken to me, and I brought that forth that there was something that was going to be happening in the financial realm. Some of you may remember that. As we saw this year, many banks fell and financial institutions went. But the word of the Lord was to us as believers, are we to be afraid of the current situation that's happening in the world?
No.
Absolutely not. Because God promises to His sons and daughters, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. How many of us get so excited when gas prices go up? And then here's what we hear ourselves saying, man, it's so expensive. I don't know how I'm going to be able to afford that. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? It's His job, no matter what it gets to. How about food prices? Do you think God doesn't understand what the prices are on food? He does. And so, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory when you are a giver. If you examine Paul in Philippians chapter 4, you will find that exact same thing. But I want us to look here at verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And as I sought the Lord, you know, sometimes we try to force God's hand. Lord, give me a word. Give me a word. What's the word, God? Give me a word. Give me a word. But I've learned that if God wants to give a word, He's going to give a word. And so, as of last night, I had heard nothing from God as far as the coming year. I thought, well, Lord, if you don't want to give a word for this coming year, that's okay. And when I woke up, it was fresh on my heart. Beware of the dogs. Beware. This verse just hit me, of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I believe, as the Lord has really placed this upon my heart, this year we're going to see an increase of false teachers. And I am telling you that by the Spirit of God, that God is warning His church. God is speaking to those that will listen, because what we are going to see here, as it was in Paul's day, he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of those that were bringing in false doctrine. Now, and I believe, as the Lord just downloaded this upon my heart this morning, that we're going to see a great influx coming into the church of false teaching. And unfortunately, it will come from sources that seem to be reputable. And this is why it is so very, very important for the body of Christ, those that are God's people, to have their hearts and their affections set upon the Word of God. Because what will come will be a strong delusion, as the Scriptures call it. And as we look a little bit further into this, Paul prophesied this, and if you'll go with me over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Now, we had our shouting time earlier in praise. This shouldn't be so much of a shouting time, but a time for internal looking at ourselves, looking at our faith here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul spoke of the day that the wicked one would be revealed in verse 8 and then verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to look down at verse 15 now. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. We find from here, how does this happen? Is it possible for one that is a believer in Jesus Christ, Pastor Aaron, to fall back? Now, there is a lot of doctrines that are out there that say, no. Once I'm saved and I'm going to heaven doesn't matter what. That is not scriptural. I'm going to make some people mad that might have been taught that over the years, but that is not scriptural. Because the book of Hebrews clearly tells us those that were once enlightened, that have tasted of the heavenly gift of God, then have turned back like a dog returns to his own vomit. It's not God's choice. It's an individual's choice that turns back. We're not talking about backsliding. We're talking about selling out to Satan. This is what's called a strong delusion that the Apostle Paul said. It is deceptiveness at its highest form. So beware is what Paul said. That means to be aware constantly of what you are feeding yourself with. Who are you listening to, and does it line up with the Scriptures? And today we have a lot of things that are creeping in that say, well, you know, that's the way that it used to be done, but God has a new way. And everybody's jumping on board with it, Marty, and saying, absolutely, this is the new way. God has spoken to us. No, the God of this world has spoken in many cases, and many believers are falling away from the things of God. How does it happen? How does this happen? There's an interesting portion of Scripture, and I want you to go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. And sometimes when we read the Word of God, sometimes we're thinking, wow, and this is one of those portions of Scripture that I want you to see. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. Let me give you the scenario here. Ahab and another king had come together. They were looking for, should we go to war or should we not go to war? And they called upon all the other prophets that were there in Israel and Judah. And all those other prophets prophesied, go ahead. Go ahead to the battle because you're going to win. Wait a minute. These were supposed to be prophets. Prophets of God and saying, go ahead. The Lord is for you. Go ahead with this battle, Marty. And then they caught another one, Micaiah. And they said, do you give us what is the word of God? And well, he didn't want to be struck down, so he says, yeah, I agree with them, go ahead. And then we pick it up in 14, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure you that you tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? So what do we know from here? Are there prophets that are not telling the truth? Yes. And there are people in today's world that call themselves prophets, call themselves apostles, that are not telling the truth of God. And Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as the sheep have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. This is Micaiah the prophet. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on this manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all those prophets that the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. So, I want to tell you and explain this portion of Scripture to you. Micaiah the prophet saw the throne of God and he saw what was happening there in this particular situation. That there was a meeting in heaven. Now, I want to tell you something. God is in control of all things. This is the exact same scenario, if you remember the book of Job, early in the book of Job, where there was a meeting in heaven, and Satan shows up in this meeting. Let me tell you, when God summons Satan to the meeting, he must be there. God is the authority. Now, in this particular case, there was a spirit that came forth and said, I will persuade the prophets. I will put a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. Now understand, this was not God that had put the lying spirit there. This was a demonic spirit that God allowed to do what the purpose was. Now some of you say, what was the purpose here? Why did God allow this? God knows when the hearts of men are callous towards him. He does. And this was exactly the same as you think back about Pharaoh. How many remember that story? Where God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Because he knew Pharaoh's heart would never turn to him. So again, in this particular case, God knows the heart of men. And he knows if men will choose purposely to walk away from God. So we see a lying spirit that's happened there, and God has allowed this to happen. And someone asked me the other day, how is it that all of these evil rulers and people that come into power, how is it that this is allowed? And some say, certainly God didn't put these people into power. But the scriptures say he has. No one comes into power unless God allows it. So with that in mind, why did God allow it? And why has God, for an example, allowed the leadership that we currently have in America? Because the heart of the people. Let me just tell you this. It was the same situation with Samuel. The prophet was around and the people said, we want a king! And Samuel said, no, that's against God's heart. And they said, we want a king. And then they started that chant, we want a king, we want a king. So what did God do? God gave them a king. And was that king good for them? Absolutely not. The warning that God is giving us, and I'm giving us today, is beware. And I'm saying that because God's heart is for his people. Jump back over with me to 2 Thessalonians again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. I read this a minute ago. Therefore, brethren, do what? Holding the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now, on Wednesday night, we just covered that there was traditions of men. This is a different word here. The traditions are those things that you have been taught that have been godly, that have come out of the Word of God. You are to hold those things. This is the heart of God here. Stand fast. Don't back away from the good word that you have been taught. I can remember, there's lots of things that people say to me that have been here before at Living Water, and they're not here, and they say some words in departing. But one in particular just sticks in my head. They said, Pastor, we know that you love your flock, and we know that you preach the whole Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and everybody here that teaches and preaches the Word of God, but we don't want to be here anymore. When I think about what the Apostle Paul said, he said, stand forth, hold these traditions, hold fast. Why should we do that? One more scripture I want to bring in towards this half of it, Matthew 24, verse 24. What does the Word of God say? What's coming? What does your Bible say? Matthew chapter 24. And there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. How many of us think that we're above being deceived? How many of you have ever been caught in a bad deal? How many ever got scammed in here? Nobody wants to admit that, right? Because that would make us look weak. But I think almost every one of us in some fashion or another has been taken. You go to a restaurant, you go to a store, and you walk out and you look at your receipt and you got charged for something that you didn't get. But even the very elect could be deceived is what we know. So the fact is, don't back away from the word that God has taught you. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Root yourself in the things of God. Root yourself. If you find a body that is teaching the Word, and I'm excited that we've got Ministry Training Center classes starting again today. I'm excited for those that are in it, what God is going to do. Because there is a rooting there. Amen? Now, I want to come back in the second half of this message now, of what the title of the message is. We know this is coming. So the warning is there, and I want you to pay particular attention. Because you're probably going to experience and hear some things. Everybody knows that everything on Christian radio and television is true, right? Pay attention. Beware. Beware. That's the word that God has. Now, coming back to what I read earlier, Paul said to the Philippian church that I might be found in him. And I want to talk about this because this goes right along with what God is speaking to us for this year. My question is, again, I ask this to you, are you found in him? And a lot of times the answer comes, well, you know what? Yes, I'm in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Do you know how many people that I talk to and have talked to over the years that say they are a believer in Jesus? What does it mean to be found in Him anyway? I want to really examine that. People say, I know Jesus. But here's the question that I have for them, for you, and for me. Does Jesus know us? Does Jesus know you? Oh, I know Jesus. Well, Matthew chapter 7. We've been here before. And the question comes up. Does Jesus know you? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Does Jesus know you? You can say you know him, but does he know you? Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Wherefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. That's like the difference of Marty building a house and me building a house. Marty's built decks that hurricanes will not destroy. Now we can liken that to my corn that I plant and winds blowing and knocks it over, right? And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and, what? And doeth them, if you don't have King James, does them, right? Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains came, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So I want to say, what does it mean to be found in him? When we look at this, Jesus said, he would know his own by their hearing him and doing his word. Thousands upon thousands will say that they know Jesus. But the only ones that he knows are those that hear him and do his will. He knows them. There's a story in the book of Acts about seven sons of Sceva. And they tried to pretend that they had the authority. They come up to a demon-possessed man and say, come out of him. Well, they came out all right. But the demon looked at him and at those seven brothers and said, we know Jesus. We know Paul. We know Peter. But who are you? You can't use the name of Jesus without being a doer of his word. Because then the devil will jump on you, tear off all your clothes, and send you naked running down Hall Valley Drive. People have asked me in the past, am I not afraid to speak in the pulpit about hating Satan and taking authority? Yes, I can. And I hate him with everything that's in me. And when we speak to the enemy, he must go in the name of Jesus. He must go when we know that he knows us. Do you have fellowship with him? Do you spend time with him? Does he know you? Jesus is looking for his own now and when he returns. He's looking to find some things. I want you to think about this right now. Luke chapter 18. Jump over to the book of Luke now. Luke chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now let's go back again to what Paul said. I want to be found in him. And my question to all of us, are we found in him? Does he know us? There is a time coming, and he is looking right now for this as well. Will he find faith on the earth when he comes? Will God find faith in you? Will you be found in him, or will you be found outside of him? This is what God is asking us today to really, really look into. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about your faithful in going to Doris' Sunday school class. I'm not talking about you being faithful in your tithes. Because you know what? There are unbelievers that tithe. But does God know them? Does Jesus know them? What's he looking for? He's looking for faith. I want you to turn with me now over to 1 Peter. Because it's interesting as we look, he is looking right now for faith. He's looking at you. He's looking at you. He's looking at you. He's looking at you. Will you believe me? Will you know me? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7. Peter says, "Wherefore ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Are you found in him in your trials? He says there's going to be trials. Everybody except Miss Joyce has got trials, right? You say, "Oh, Miss Joyce is a godly woman. She has no trials." That's not scriptural. Well, when you get a certain age, you pass that up, right? It's like once you get past 65, right? Patty's shaking her head, no. "Though you are in manifest many trials, heaviness, that you might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." What's he going to find when he looks down at us right now? Because he's looking. I want, like Paul said, to be found in him. We've all messed up, but this should be our goal, to be found in him. "Lord Jesus, I give you thanks through these trials, because I'm a man of God." And I think often about what Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." And I think about that almost every morning. Well, I lift my hands and I say, "God, thank you. I will serve you." Because it would please the enemy of our souls no greater than for a believer that once was faithful and serving God in the power of God to turn his back on God because God hadn't done what they wanted him to do. And see, the devil steps in and says, "See, God didn't do what he said he was going to do. God didn't heal you. God didn't take away the pain. God didn't do this. God didn't do that." And by many, people begin to pull away from the things of God. And I'm telling you and I'm warning you today, I want you to be found in him. It's my heart. I don't want any that I have preached the word of God to miss heaven. I want you to be found in him. Now, just as a little side note, there are some people that say, man, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be so upset that so-and-so didn't make it. No, you're not. You will be able to rejoice with those that did, but remember, in the presence of God, there's no what? There's no fear. There's no hurt. No pain. So when is our opportunity to talk to people? Now. 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 I want you to be found in Him. 2 Peter chapter 3 now. Verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Did I get that right? No, I didn't. Somebody's paying attention. I'm really glad to see that. What does it say? Beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be what? Found in Him. With peace, without spot, and blameless. Are we found in Him? Do you have the peace of God? Or how many of us spend our days worrying? You spend your days worrying, you need to begin to check, am I found in Him? Because He's not a God of worry. Isn't it a wonderful thing that no matter what happens, when we talk about the peace of God, though it may initially touch our flesh man, that we immediately, it's like one of those meters that, I don't know if anybody understands this, but when you have a home house generator, when the power goes off, these new ones automatically click and switches it over to the generator. And I'm thinking about this. When issues come our way, it hits us immediately and then click. That's God's concern. The peace of God. I want to be found in Him. The last scripture that I want to bring to you is out of Revelation chapter 20. And by far, of all the things that we should be found in Him, this would be it. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name found in that book? And if your answer is, I hope so, Houston, we have a problem. To be found in Him. Does Jesus know you? Is our name in that book? How many of us can confidently say yes to both of those questions? How can we do that? Because John said these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. I am confident in my Savior Jesus Christ and what He did for me. And He is looking for things in me. Faith, peace, joy. Long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. He is looking for all of those things. Laura's looking for kindness too. She's looking for that jar to be empty out there. Okay? You ain't taking any of mine away, babe. Yeah. Paul said, I want to be found in Him. Do you? Let's be what God wants us to be this year. And those things that will be coming that you will hear of, stand steadfast. And I love it because we can stand steadfast when we have been taught the true Word of God and say, that's not in God's Word. Or that activity is not according to God's Word. Father, I thank You for Your Word today, and I thank You, Lord, that You give us the ability to be found in You. And I think about what Paul said, Lord, he said, that I might know Him and He know me. Lord, Would you develop our relationship with you more and more? And for those that can't answer, that I know Jesus knows me, I pray, Father, that today would be the turning point. That we'd be confident that you know us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us in the world that is coming and in this year that is coming, that we would be faithful, standing fast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. I thank you for that and give you the praise in Jesus' name.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.